So without further ado, after that amazing introduction, I'd like to welcome you to my talk, How to Future-Proof Your Websites. Now, I was inspired to do this talk, one, because this is all about making web, not war, and two, a few weeks ago, I tried to access a website on my phone, thinking that we were the year 2015, and, you know, expecting it to work properly, and it was kind of one of those governmental websites. Supposedly, they have a lot of money, but they don't put it towards their websites. And the font was size 16. I couldn't resize it, and it was impossible to scroll or move around from the visual view that it was showing me. So that's when I was like, that's it. This is 2015, people. We have the tools to do this. Every website should be beautiful right now. But, of course, we still have a lot of old websites still on the internet, and that's why I'd like to introduce you to the tools and frameworks you can use to update your websites. First of all, my name is Carla Morovich, and I currently work at Morgan Stanley, as Rami said. I graduated from McGill University from software engineering bachelor around 4 years ago, and I've been working ever since. That's my day job. As soon as it hits 5 o'clock, I'm out the door, hitting the gym, trying to, you know, get on that mobile app platform cruise ship that's happening right now. It's actually really hard. I started with a little bit of Android. I moved on to Swift. I can't make up my mind. I go back and forth. But I can tell you that they're both really fun, and you should get into that too. So there's this word going around called responsive web design, and that's what I want to talk to you about today. The problem is that in 2015, we expect every website to be responsive, so it's a little crazy to still keep that word responsive, and it should just be web design. How should we be designing our websites right now? And they should be defaulted to responsive. Now, you might be wondering, what does responsive mean? Or you already know, that's good. But it's because, at one point, all we had were computer monitors to access websites and the internet. And all of a sudden, we started getting all these mobile devices, such as laptops, PDAs, cell phones, and soon-to-be wearables, that all could now access the internet through a web browser and show us these web pages on different sizes of screens. So it became crucial now that we start tailoring our websites to all kinds of different sizes of screens. Not just one, but, you know, they range from layout to portrait, wide screens, skinny screens, like you name it, we've got a screen size for that. We don't exactly have wearables yet, but I'm pretty sure at the rate we're going, it's definitely going to happen one day where you can access the web through your little watch. So, I'd like to introduce you to CSS3, which is the best thing that could ever happen to us web programmers. CSS3 makes it possible for us to lay out and design our websites. Now, CSS3 is the evolution of previous cascading style sheets of specifications. And what I love about CSS3, and these are things that I use every day in all my applications, is that it provided us with rounded corners, it provided us with shadows, which, let me tell you, it makes every box look sexy, it provided us with gradients and transitions, animations, and especially new layouts, such as multi-columns, flexible box, or grid layouts. Now, these are all great things, and all things that we should be using more and more in our websites, because they're powerful tools. This is what really makes our websites responsive. My favorite, though, is going to be the flexible box layout. And I recently came across this at work in our front-end web application, and I just saw flex being used everywhere, and I didn't understand what it was or what it was doing, but it was, you know, everywhere. It's intrusive, but it's a good kind of intrusive. I remember back in my undergraduate degree when you tried to make a beautiful UI for your project, and I was dealing with floats and position absolute and a couple of other weird things just to make that, you know, two divs go side by side was a headache, incredibly hard. But with flexible box layout, you can say goodbye to all those headaches and the fiddling around and the trial and error, because it does this out of the box for you in such a beautiful manner. Flexible box layout is basically, you know, very flexible. It can dynamically position, align, and distribute space between items of a container. That is my dream come true. That, to me, you've just proposed to me. It's beautiful. So I always found that spacing things or positioning things around were so incredibly difficult inside of a web page. And then you had multiple web browsers to handle and deal with, that they were never the same thing. We have a huge problem at work between IE and Chrome. And you know, you're trying to cater to both, but you have to do the lowest denominator web browser. And we all know which one. And then you're stuck. So you got to let the container expand its items to fill space or shrink items to prevent overflow. And that's the greatest thing. The container does everything. You don't have to mess with floats. You don't have to mess with inline block. It'll do it for you. A little more on Flex. So there's two parts to Flex. There's the Flex container. And then within it, there's these things called Flex items, which could be divs or inner children of HTML elements. All right, I'm going to have to bring out some CSS on you guys so that I introduce to you the basics of Flex and the keywords that you should use in your CSS. So first and foremost, in our .container class, which will be given to every containing div, we're going to give it the attribute display and either give it the keyword flex or inline flex. Now that all of a sudden gives that div the context that it is going to be a flex box. The next thing you can do is define a flex direction for all of the inner divs that you want to put in there. So it's great because with just a keyword right now, you can have several divs lined up in a row, or they can start lining themselves up in a column space, which is awesome. I always use the display block automatically inside of a div, and I always have found it really hard to meddle with that and bring it all into one row, and I can't believe just with one word here, row, I can get that. The next thing is, which is really cool, is the flex wrap. This determines how we're going to wrap the elements inside of a div container. So if there's too many elements to fit on one row, which is the default, you can now specify to bring the last divs on that row onto the new row. And you can do it by specifying wrap or wrap reverse, and that basically wraps it in the reverse order. So you get what you want easily. The next thing is going to be the justify content. And this is like, if you've ever justified text within a Word document, it's awesome, but now you can do it to your divs. And for instance, you can do the flex start, which is automatic. Everything goes to the left. Flex end, everything goes to the right. Centering and then spacing is all done automatically for you. So you know what to expect when it renders. The next thing will be to align your items. So now that you have your items in your flex box, you want to either, depending where inside your div, you can all align them to the top of the box, the bottom of the box, the center, or even stretch them, which is, all these side effects can be really, when used well in your website, can give a user experience that, like, none other. Also, there's this thing called align content, which is basically, I think this one aligns the containers lines, the lines. So you'll have the space around it, for example, the start, that's your usual default one. Flex end, bring everything to the bottom of the div. You can center everything again, stretch the rows, or space between the rows. So that was talking about the things that you'd want to set on your container, but there's also things you'd want to set on the items. So I think this is really cool. When you specify your divs inside of an HTML file, they are going to render in that order automatically. But here, with just some CSS applied through a class, you can give it the attribute order, and then give that each div a different number, and they will realign themselves inside the HTML when it's rendered, according to increasing number. Flex grow. Oh, I've had a lot of fun with this one. So this one defines the ability to grow items proportionally. So depending on if you want one div to be 2 times bigger than the other or 3 times, you just set this property and the web browser will decide that itself and just render it beautifully. The next thing is the align self one. This one overrides alignment for individual items. So before, when you aligned everything, all your divs in a row, this one, if you want, like for the example here, if you want it to go down, just that one, this one will allow you to just apply a styling on that one div. Cool, so that was Flexbox layout, which is very powerful. And then came something else that CSS3 provided, which is called media queries. And I came across these when I was looking through the Bootstrap code at some point, which is a framework that you can use to set up a quick and easy website. And they had media queries everywhere, and I thought that was kind of special because it was the first time I'd seen it, but it's really the magic under the hood. So media queries allows your websites to be device responsive. The way it does this is that it's literally just an expression. And if it evaluates to true, then it applies a certain block of CSS to your page. So you can do certain things like check the width of your device, the width of your viewport, the orientation of your viewport, and the resolution of the device. And depending on these things, you can now set different styles and colors and sizes to your divs so that it renders appropriately in each instance. So a quick little syntax on this. It's quite nice. In your CSS files, you can start with the rule, at media, followed by either the negating keyword, not. You can also specify only, but that was just for browser compatibility so that it doesn't, sometimes it would not include and sometimes it would include. So this only keyword was used to help browsers do the right thing. Followed by a media type, which I'll get to a little bit later. Then you can put any number of ands and then followed by the feature that you want to check on your device. So for instance, a media type, the supported ones are all, print, screen, and speech. So all means that, you know, you want to check on each of the following media types. Print is for printers, so when you want to print a file, it's going to use this CSS styling so that when you press print, it'll look a certain way, which is cool. I don't think we usually check for that or style for printing. The screen one is the most used. That's the one where you check resolution, color, number of pixels on the screen. And then speech is for screen readers. And then there is this thing called media feature, which you enclose in parentheses, and that's where you check the height, the width, the aspect ratio, the color, the resolution, and orientation. There's a whole bunch of keywords for each of these things that you want to check, and you can put them against a number or a certain type of ratio. Another way you can do it is just by doing this inline in your HTML through a link tag so that it includes a certain style sheet depending if the expression in the media, between the quotes of the media expression, if that evaluates to true or false, then the certain style sheet is going to be included. And this is really great because with these two things, Flexbox layout and media queries, you can start building just one website which will grow and fit or shrink to any of the thousands of devices out there seamlessly and beautifully. So for instance, we have this, this example. It's from the website called Front, F-R-O-O-N-T. And as you can see that each, you know, screen ratio, the size of it, as it gets bigger, it expands over more columns, and then as you start shrinking the screens, it changes, you know, drastically into a column view, which is really nice, especially if you're on your phone and, you know, you only can see a certain amount of information at a certain time. That's what I expected when I went to go, renew my Opus card last week, and what I saw was a horribly, you know, deformed website when I expected something like this to happen. And I'm telling you, it's not that hard to get this. And you can code once, make a website once, and it will fit any website, any device screen. I think we should all be on this boat right now. OK, so I'd like to show you a demo of how this is done. This is a demo that I'm taking from a guy named Hugo Giraudel, and he made a beautiful article on CSS tricks that I am basing all my knowledge off of. And there's a keyword now that's being done in the responsive design, web design world, and it's called mobile first. And it's the recommended way of doing things. So first they're telling us to, we used to just design for a big screen, a big monitor, 19-inch, and then we, you know, slowly bring that down so that it would fit onto a cell phone screen, for instance. But now they're telling us to start small and then grow your design until it fits the 19-inch, you know, computer monitor. So that's what it means by saying a mobile first. Now, this mobile first application should have three columns in the layout with a full width header and a footer, and then independent from the source order. So independent of the ways that the divs in the HTML have been, you know, set, I'll give it an order here, and the browser will know how to reorder it later. So as usual, we start with our container and, you know, give it the display flex. It is now in the flex context. And we give it a flex flow of we want rows, and we'd like those rows to wrap. The next five classes that we're going to apply to each of our, you know, different divs are going to be, we're going to give them flex. And we're going to give them a width of 100%. And then, as you can see, there's two media queries being used. Here, at media for all media types, I'd like to check that the screen width is at least 600 pixels. So that's a medium-sized screen. So that both, at that point, that's when we're getting smaller and smaller into the, you know, the size of a cell phone. And at that point, we want both of our sidebars, which I'll show you in a bit, to be on one row. So like two little buttons side by side. And again, another media query for larger screens so that each of the different divs fall into a specific area. So I need to exit for a bit and go to another tab. And this is exactly, this is kind of the three column layout. So you've got your header and your footer, the two sidebars, and the main body. And this is what most websites try to, you know, try to emulate with your header and footer and then the content in the middle, which, you know, looks good if it was filled up with, you know, real stuff. But the interesting part happens when I start to resize my web browser. And every time I resize, it sends, you know, the browser rechecks the CSS to see if it's applying it properly. And when I start getting to really, really small, that's when those two sidebars now became two divs side by side. So it's following the CSS rules. And then now it became a completely column-induced layout, which is, you know, the normal thing that you see on all your cell phones and expect all websites to adhere by. These things aren't hard to do. They're a lot of fun. They give you a lot of control of your layout if you apply them properly, if you test them out as well after. Sometimes it's not what you expect. You might have misused a certain keyword. But it works well, media queries and Flexbox. And I know that now in the industry, we use it a lot. It's applied everywhere. And there's a lot of articles online. It's like boomed in the last year, I find. That's when all the latest articles have started popping up about Flexbox and about media queries and how people are actually promoting it and expecting everybody to use it. But the next thing is depending on how much time you have, because it does take a lot of time to create your own layout and sit there and figure it out. First, you got to draw it out. Then you got to set it up. Then you got to test it and apply CSS to it. But then there's these wonderful people in the world who have started, actually, there's many frameworks, but I'm going to show you the top three best responsive frameworks. Of course, Bootstrap is well known because it was created by Twitter. This is the first one that I started playing around with. It was great because it came out with all kinds of components, such as the carousel, which is so cool on, you know, on your splash page. It came out with the modal windows whenever you click on OK, and you want to just double check with the users if this is exactly what they want to do. So Bootstrap is very popular, and it's a front-end UI framework. It's got that 12-grid responsive layout, so it expects that each row is divided up into 12, you know, sequences. So you're dealing with that a lot. But it works. It works well. it's well documented with a lot of blogs and tutorials online. So while I was learning and trying to, you know, set up my own website, I was able to follow along with all these people who've already been there before me. And it also comes with a lot of ready-to-use templates. So within seconds, you can just go online. They're free. They want you to use them. They want you to, like, start customizing the templates to your colors, to your images, to your themes. But they give you the bare bones of it, which is awesome. So within seconds, you can start working with a template and have a website up. The bad thing is, though, that everybody's done this, and now we see a trend on the internet where all websites now have that one-page flow, you know, section by section by section, one, two, three, and it's everywhere. We've lost kind of the uniqueness or the identity of each website where they all just following the same pattern. Another great one, and they're all open source, by the way, is Foundation. This is a framework, and it's about web designing first, and or you can, you know, start small, or you can also start from the bigger picture, the bigger monitor display screen size. It's for rapid prototyping. So this is to set up a web page fast, your layout fast to see if it works, if it's what people want. It also has a responsive grid system, and it's made by this company called Zurb, Z-U-R-B. And these are just a bunch of product designers making web-based solutions. The last one, though, is Skeleton, and these are all by my hipster friends are telling me to use it. It's cool, it's hip, this is literally the bare bones, it's called Skeleton, and it's simple and clean. And what it is just responsive CSS boilerplate. So just the things you need, no frills, no thrills, it's just standard media queries for device-specific setups, and then CSS for responsive images that scale. The rest is up to you to use these basic parts to build something that you want to make. So I think it's good to dabble with each and every one of them. I personally have only worked with Bootstrap so far, and I thought it worked really well. But I've heard of Skeleton, and I've heard of Foundation, and I've yet to use them. But it's also cool, because it's open source, you can go look under the hood and see how they've designed it. There's actually a way to structure your CSS, and it's cool to see, you know, how the pros in the industry have done it. It's, you know, it's a lot of CSS, of course, but it's also really well made. So if you wanted to learn more, I would suggest these sites. I know there's a lot more, but I never leave home without these ones. I totally believe in W3 Schools. I read a lot of Smashing Magazine articles and tutorials. The CSS Tricks has gotten me out of so many binds. It's incredible. I absolutely love that website. There's also this thing called Toots Plus, and I think they've renamed themselves to Envato Toots Plus, because when I signed up with them, it is kind of like a tutorials-based website where you buy a yearly subscription, and they've got all kinds of, you know, if you want to make web apps, if you want to make mobile apps as well, they provide all kinds of those tutorials, and they're really well made. Treehouse does this similar thing. I go to Treehouse a lot for tutorials. And then there's this awesome website that's called Can I Use? And Can I Use is cool because it checks to see the compatibility of different browsers for a certain utility that you want to use. And it shows you in a nice grid the different browsers and the support for that utility. So for instance, if I went to go and can I use Flexbox, it would show me green across the board for, you know, IE, Chrome, Opera, whatever. And you can do that you can type in any type of keyword and it will show you that. So with all that, I'd like to thank you for listening.
Questions? Anyone?
Did everybody know about this?
So you mentioned the other frameworks like Foundation and Bootstrap, right? Was the Flex stuff in CSS3, was it made to replace that, or is that more of a compliment?
No. Good question. Well, okay. I forgot to explain that these frameworks are based on the flexible box layout. So they've all been built on top of it, used it. So they've built components for us using that layout so that we don't have to go and, you know, from scratch make those the row system or the grid system like that. That's true. That's a good point.
Uh, Actually, float was originally in the spec because people wanted to put text beside an image. And then just everything went haywire. So that's why they started it. So flex was just an afterthought because people were getting sick of it.
Okay.
So that's the why.
I always used float to make my div float to the other side of the screen. It wasn't about text or images. It was just I wanted these two things separated.
And just adding to the reference that we were talking about in the previous slide, I would highly suggest to put Mozilla Developer Network in the list. They're pretty good. It's not focused on Firefox things. It's really about the web. And what is great is that it's so much updated. There is a ton of people helping. It's an open wiki, W3C like helps, and other type of companies. So it's right now from like my personal point of view, is probably the most updated and the most true sources when it comes to HTML stuff, CSS, and JavaScript.
Could you repeat what it was?
It's MDN, Mozilla Developer Network. Yeah, it's developers.mozilla.org. Oh. Yeah.
Dot Mozilla?
Yeah.
Dot org?
Yes.
Okay. I don't have internet right now, but just if... People
yeah, it's really, really, it's the best resources out there.
Cool.
Okay. Any other questions? No? Any questions from the live stream? Guys on the live stream, you guys need to be asking questions. What's going on here?
Oh, no.
Okay.
Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Carla.